Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, on a mission to create remodeling experiences worthy of 5-star online reviews. See the difference at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Let's talk St. Louis blues. And I'm not talking about hockey. Blues music has formidable roots in our region. Legends in the genre, like Henry Mule Townsend, Kim Massey, and Big George Brock, have made a name for themselves and the city for decades. And there's a new generation of blues greats coming up in St. Louis. One of them is Matt Lesh, also known as The Rattlesnake. He released his album Blues Cut Like Glass last year, and he joins us in studio today. Matt Rattlesnake Lesh, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
No, thank you so much for having me in today.
Roots music, like blues and jazz, are often associated with older musicians. And in a way, Matt, you are seasoned because you've been playing music professionally for half your life. And your professional career is thanks in part to Big George Brock. And you wrote a biographical song about him and his life that we're going to listen to in just a moment. But I want to rewind to when you were a teen. Did you have visions then, you know, as like a 14, 15-year-old, of pursuing blues music professionally and full-time?
You know, I really did. I can remember vividly when I was, you know, just coming up in the scene at ages 14, 15, really imagining myself playing with, you know, my heroes and on these stages at festivals. And it just felt right. You know, it was something that felt, you know, like it would take a lot of work to get to, but not fully ungrabbable.
Mm-hmm. 14 or 15, then we're talking like freshman and sophomore year in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So what was school like for you, you know, traveling with blues legends? And, you know, how did you go from performing in front of blues fans and then, you know, going to take an algebra test in second period?
Well, I will say, you know, I mainly played on weekends, and it was, you know, a lot of late nights, especially when BB's Jazz Blues and Soups was still around. We'd play till 2:30, 3 in the morning, and then I'd have, you know, maybe that Sunday, if I wasn't playing again to recuperate, then I had to go to school that next Monday. And there was definitely, you know, kind of hard to concentrate sometimes, just given the fact that, you know, you just had this really fun weekend doing what you love,
mm-hmm.
and then you had to go back to school and totally almost turn on another switch,
yeah.
you know.
So you had two jobs.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was there a particular moment when you realized, oh, this is it and there's nothing else for me?
Yeah, I think one of the very first times I sat in with a blues band. I was 14 years old. I sat in with this band called Kingdom Brothers, who still play quite frequently around the St. Louis area. And I remember sitting in with them at this talent show that I was a part of in Chesterfield. And, you know, I just knew right then and there, playing for such a big crowd of people and playing with just other great musicians. And I knew that was what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. And you must have had a lot of family support through this.
I did, yeah. I was very, very, you know, fortunate enough to have a lot of support from my dad, my mom, my grandma, grandpa, everybody in the family. And they, you know, they really supported me 100% when it came to this.
Mm-hmm. They're your OG fans.
Yes, exactly.
To get us warmed up, Matt, to talk about your mentor, Big George Brock, let's hear a bit of your song, He's a Blues Man, from your album, Blues Cut Like Glass.
He was born in Grenada in 1932. They called him Big George, and he played and sang the blues. He's a blues man. He's a blues. Singing the blues. They called him a lover in damn near every town. He knocked out Sonny Liston in only the second round. He wrestled with a bear and knocked it off his feet. They called him the king.
And that was He's a Blues Man from Matt the Rattlesnake Lush's album, Blues Cut Like Glass. So, Matt, Big George Brock had you traveling to and from places to perform with him and the rest of the band live on stage, and he passed away just a month shy of his 88th birthday in 2020. Take us back to your first meeting. How did that go down?
So, I met Big George when I was 16 at BB's Jazz Blues and Soups. And me and my dad used to take me everywhere and let me, you know, sit in since I was, you know, I couldn't drive really at that time. And I needed him to get into these places. So he would take me around and we went to see Big George one night at BB's. And I went up to meet him and shake his hand, and he had heard about me through other members of the band that I had known prior to meeting him. And you know, I go up to him, I say, Big George, you know, it's nice to meet you, I'm a big fan. And he goes, you play guitar, you bring it with you, why don't you go get it? And that was the end of that conversation.
Okay.
And he called me up about halfway through the show at around like midnight or 12:30. And he kept me up the rest of the night till about 2:30, playing with him, just, you know, playing the songs he normally does. And he was having such a good time, and so was I. And he told me at the end of the show, when everybody was gone, it was just us in the place, he said, I'm going to take you down to Clarksdale with me this next year. And he did. He kept his word. You know, he brought me down to Mississippi with him and other places, you know, from then on, you know, until he passed away. I spent those next 7 years with him playing and traveling and just learning as much as I could.
Mm-hmm. What an amazing story. It was also Big George Brock who christened you. He gave you your stage name named the Rattlesnake. So there must be a story there too.
Yeah. So, and it actually goes back a tiny bit further than that. So whenever, you know, I first got that name, I was playing at the Blue City Deli. They used to have a lot of live music back then. And somebody had told me when I got off the stage, they go to me, they say, you know, when you're on stage, you're as unpredictable as a rattlesnake. And it was just kind of a little thing that was thrown around here and there. But then when I met Big George, he heard my name was Rattlesnake. Mm-hmm. And them old blues guys, you know, they all love the nicknames. And so he really took it, and that's all he called me. You know, a lot of the times when he was introducing me or, you know, the people or on stage, he just called me Rattlesnake. You know, he'd be like, Rattlesnake on guitar. And that's how that name really kind of took off. And some people didn't even know my name. They just knew me by that nickname,
yeah.
Rattlesnake.
Do you have a rattlesnake tattoo? Do I see that?
I do. I do, yes.
How old were you when you got that? Not a 15,
oh,
right?
Oh, no, I was not 15. Oh, gosh, how old was I? I believe, I want to say I was like 19 or 20, somewhere around there, maybe 21.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But, yeah, it's very fitting.
Right,
so.
Right. Big George Brock was a big deal in blues music in St. Louis and in the South, including in his birth state of Mississippi. And he was a professional boxer, a nightclub owner, and of course, a musician. Did you know all of that about him? Like, was your dad maybe a fan? Were you ready to meet somebody who had that much, you know, to his life?
I did not know everything about him. All I knew was that he was a blues legend in St. Louis, and that he had played with people like Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf. That was about the extent of my knowledge prior to meeting him. And then I found out all this other information about him, you know, his stories he would tell me, especially about his boxing career, which, you know, just added to everything. Which
the Sonny Liston part.
Yeah. That's a true story. You know, everything I mentioned in that song is 100% true.
So he actually wrestled a bear?
He actually wrestled a bear.
How big was the bear?
So here's the whole story behind that. I'll keep it kind of brief. Basically, there's this guy that had a baby bear in a truck, and he had mitts on him. So he could still hurt you, but he couldn't, like, actually claw you. And the guy was offering some amount of money if you could pin the bear. And Big George wanted to try it. So him and his boss at the time went up, and he challenged the bear. Well, he was watching other people fail, and he said that he could see that every time the bear lunged towards them, they would back up, and that's when the bear would get you. So when he got up to the bear and the bear lunged towards him, all he did was step aside and trip him.
Oh.
And then the bear got mad, so they had to get it out of there. But then the guy didn't want to pay him because, you know, they're like, you know, well, you didn't pin him.
Right, right.
But they were, you know, George was like, you didn't say how, you know.
I mean, if that is not a blues song, I don't know what is.
Yep. So
we're going to take a very quick break here, but we'll be back shortly to continue this conversation with blues musician Matt the Rattlesnake Lesh. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
Welcome back. I'm Elaine Cha. Let's get back to our conversation with Matt the Rattlesnake Lesh, and we'll begin with some of his music from his album Blues Cut Like Glass. This is Still Got My Blues.
You said that you love me. You said that you care. You said that you love me. You said that you care. But you ran away with a millionaire. I wanna know, babe, what did it do for you? I wanna know, babe.
And that was Still Got My Blues by Matt the Rattlesnake Lesh. He joins me in studio to discuss his latest album, Blues Cut Like Glass. So Matt, you know, music usually comes out of some emotion. It's meant to elicit a response. And blues music has the blues. And it's usually, there's some sort of melancholy that's associated with it. And in Still Got My Blues, we definitely hear some of that. But there are also some heavy guitar riffs. It gives off kind of a more rock edge. And producer Maya Norfleet said when she saw you perform this song live at a benefit show, she knew that she wanted to invite you to talk with us. So I mean this with all due respect. Matt, you are a young man of 28 years.
Yep.
Where is all this blues coming from?
Well, you know, I can't really say, you know, where it comes from. It, all I know is that, you know, whenever I play, you know, blues specifically, you know, it just, you know, it really makes me feel a certain way when I'm up there playing that guitar and singing that other genres don't, you know, they don't quite touch, you know. I play a lot of genres, but blues specifically is, you know, the one that really touches my soul the most. And mm-hmm. something I feel like every time I play, I can really just completely zone out, you know, anything that's going on in life or and just play whatever's, you know, whatever comes out.
Have you ever felt like maybe you've been here before?
You know, there's been times, you know, where I've played and I felt this type of deja vu kind of feeling, you know, like, you know, this it's really you can't really explain it,
mm-hmm.
you know. And there's other times I've played where I don't even remember after I play a solo, I don't even remember what I played or, you know, what happened. You know, that's mm-hmm. if you're like really in the zone, it's a weird, you know, weird thing, but, you know, it's very
it's like transcendental.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, that's the perfect word.
Yeah. I mentioned that rock and roll edge earlier, and you mentioned other genres. Are there certain genres or artists that you're inspired by that if people, you know, listen carefully, that they'll notice or hear in your music?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm inspired by many different genres and types of players. Like, you know, right off the bat, you know, one of my biggest influences is a guy named Charlie Christian, who in the 40s and 30s and 40s, he was kind of the pioneer of electric jazz guitar. He really was the one that brought out, you know, all these sounds, and early blues stars like T-Bone Walker and all that were influenced by him. And, you know, other people, you know, going on to the more rock edge, like Jimi Hendrix, you know, of course, Stevie Ray Vaughan, you know, just everything. I try to take a little bit of something from everything I listen to.
Mm-hmm. The next song we're going to listen to, it caught my attention because of the title. It's called Big Legged Woman. Now, before we start the song, tell me about the inspiration behind, is it big legged or big legged?
Big legged.
Okay, yep. Big legged woman.
Yep.
What's the inspiration for this?
Well, you know, there's a song by Freddie King called Big Legged Woman, but it's a totally different style of song. And so I wanted to, you know, write my own version of this song, Big Legged Woman, the same title, but different music, different words. And I don't know. I think it's something that, you know, a lot of musicians, especially guitar players, you know, it's a kind of a what's the word? You know,
like a standard almost
like a standard type of, you know, conversation almost. You mm-hmm. know, so
let's hear "Big Legged Woman" by Matt the Rattlesnake Lesh.
I got a big legged woman. She knows. Big legged woman.
And that was Big Legged Woman by Matt the Rattlesnake Lesh. So, Matt, the song is a modern twist, as you had mentioned, on a traditional blues formula, as it were. And you talk about your baby staying out all night, coming home without her phone, which is a major no-no, I think, in most relationships. How do you go about keeping blues music fresh and contemporary, both as a musician and as a performer?
Well, you know, I think one of the most important things, especially for this new generation coming up, myself included, is that you can't rely on doing the same thing that other blues artists have done. Because if you take a look at the blues artists from back in the day that were just coming on, they were doing new stuff then, you know. So it was new back then. So you got to find a way to, you know, take that and make it, you know, make it your own. Whether that be the way you perform, like certain gimmicks, or you know, the way you play, you know, even, you know, you don't want to play note for note exactly how somebody else played. You want to take that and just, you know, put your own spin on it and put your own flavor on it. You know, play how you would, not how B.B. King would or how Stevie Ray Vaughan would do it. You know, play, take their influence and then make your own out of it.
Big Legged Woman has a lot of instrumentation. You know, we hear keys, horns, and of course your guitar. Tell us how you got into writing the music for Big Legged Woman. And what would you say is sort of the Rattlesnake signature?
Well, how I got into writing this song, right off the bat, this is actually one of three songs on the album that feature a horn section. And this is my first time writing a horn section for, you know, anything like this. And it's something that, you know, I had to get used to, but it's something I'm very, you know, proud of for doing. And I think, you know, just the melodies, the horn line specifically, I put a lot of my own flavor, how I would play a horn line versus how a horn player would play a horn line. It may be similar, but I think it's slightly different. You know, there's something there that's, you know, just different than what a horn player might think of right off the bat.
What should music lovers know about this younger generation of blues musicians that you are part of? And, you know, in some ways, you are leading.
Well, I think, you know, there's many great younger blues artists out there. A lot of my friends, Dylan Triplett, also out of St. Louis, phenomenal singer. I play with him quite often. He's a great friend. Marquise Knox, another St. Louis native, and, you know, some other guys like Stephen Hole and Sean Mac McDonald, Matthias Latine, and of course Chris Stone, Kingfish Ingram, who right now out of all of us is the one leading the charge. I think he's out there, you know, playing almost every day. You know, we really take what we have learned from these older guys, and, you know, we don't just play the music. You know, we really understand the business side of things. How the music is really made, what it takes to really be a musician like this, because the music is the easy part. There's a bunch of other stuff that goes into it. You know, that's really the job part. And, you know, also going back to something we talked about earlier, like the topics of which we sing about. I heard my friend Kingfish say this once, that, you know, you don't want to, you can't just sing about the old standard, like My Baby Left Me. You know, you need to try to push it in a new direction and, you know, talk about today's problems, you know, whatever that may be. Somehow you want to, you know, make it about today, you know, not back in the day.
Well, the mention of the cell phone certainly is something that is
Very
in the now.
It could be something very, you know, very simple like that. You know, just making it up to today's standards.
Where can people find you and other blues musicians you've mentioned performing in St. Louis?
So I play kind of all around. Unfortunately, St. Louis lost a couple years ago BB's Jazz, Blues, and Soups, which was one of the main places I played. But right now, you know, I play at a place called Highway 61 Roadhouse in Webster Groves. I'm playing at, you know, festivals out of town and, you know, in town whenever they have them. The Broadway Oyster Bar is another one. So I'm just kind of, you know, all over the place. So a good thing to do would be just to check my website and kind of see where I'm going to be in the future.
And that website is?
My website is mattrattlesnakelesh.com.
Matt the Rattlesnake Lesh, blues musician, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me in.
This episode was produced and edited by Maya Norfleet.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.